On New Year's Eve, a television hostess receives a call from a mystery man that says that he will kill a person for every time zone that hits midnight. Today, we talk about the 1980 film New Year's Evil, where a New Year's resolution goes evil. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
We hope everybody has had a great New Year's Eve. Hopefully everybody was safe. Everybody had a good time, but everybody got home safe, and we're all good. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't yet, follow us on Instagram, Podcast Petrified 24. It'll be in the description of this episode. And today we are talking about the 1980 film New Year's Evil. That has probably one of the greatest soundtracks ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah. This one I had never seen before until you told me about it. Like, hey, we're going to do a holiday one.
Yeah,
let's do New Year's Eve.
Let's do New Year's Evil.
So I didn't even know there was a New Year's Eve horror movie.
Yep.
Or thriller.
It's a jewel. It's just been... Oh, man. It just hides out for that one day a year.
This movie...
shines so bright.
It's not bad. It really isn't.
It's a very good story.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's just like your typical 80s like slasher drama. And it has all those elements, like the old cheesiness of like some of the drama movies had back then. Kind of like the novellas back then. But yeah, so this movie, yeah, what it opens up with... A shot
of the Sunset Strip, basically.
Yeah, you're in
West Hollywood.
Hollywood, yeah.
Being a kid growing up in that area, it was, you would go every weekend and you would cruise Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
So everybody, like every genre, like you had your gangsters, you had your punks, you had everybody. Everybody came, you know, into being right there on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
So everyone's cruising down Sunset Strip and there's this car with, I want to say like 10 people in it.
Yeah. Oh, well, before that, the intro to this movie is pretty... You get introduced to, I get the host of this TV show called, what, Hollywood Hotline?
Hollywood Hotline.
And it's pretty much like you call in and you kind of give your, you know, what you think should be the best song of the year.
Well, that's what it seems to be. It's like a telethon.
Yeah.
It doesn't really describe itself very well. So we'll say, yeah, I guess that's the...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, because, yeah, later on when she's hosting, a girl calls in and says that the song of the year should have been We Don't Need No Education, which is, of course, is another Brick in the Wall Part 2 by
Pink Floyd.
So she already got the song wrong, the title of it wrong.
Maybe there was like a copyright issue.
Oh, it could have been that too.
Maybe they couldn't have used it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was pretty, you know, the song had only come out a year or so before that. So
yeah.
Maybe that was just...
Yeah, it came out the year before, so yeah.
Maybe it was still like, you
most
know,
likely.
Super lit up in copyright infringement, and so... You know, New Year's Evil would have got sued.
Yeah. They probably would have got sued. But so you open up, you get introduced to the host of this show, and she's pretty much, she's calling her, I guess it's her co-host or assistant?
I think it's her personal assistant. I think it's her PA. And she's trying to figure out because this woman has no organizational skills. Like, if it wasn't other people taking care of her, she would be lost. So she's got like her business manager there on deck.
Yeah.
And she's looking for her PA and her son comes, you know.
Yeah.
He comes up into the room and he's like, Mom, and he's got flowers. And she is like, he's got good news. He's got good tidings. He got a part in a television show. He's starting out on his own. So he's like trying to, you know, sit there and, you know, extract some human kindness from his mother.
Yeah, but she's kind of ignoring him. She's just neglecting him, like, just pretty much like...
It's her night to shine.
Yeah, this is her night, dude. This literally, is New Year's Eve.
Because she's got this dress, and believe you me, that dress shines.
It's a shiny, plasticky dress.
Absolutely. She looks like she basically took the wrapping off of, like, 6 edible arrangements and just made an outfit out of it.
Pretty much. So she calls her assistant, I'm assuming... Or co-host, whoever she is of this hotline, you know, show. And, you know, they're asking where her husband's at. Why the assistant would know where her husband's at, I don't know how, but she says that, well, she talked to him earlier, and he's out in Palm Springs getting hammered.
Yeah, he's already started his New Year's festivities.
Yeah, he's already. So he's not going to be in time on, you know, here for the show. He's done. He's out partying already. She's like, oh, well, darn. You know, I wish that he would have been here. Like, okay,
he's thank God my business manager's here. Because he's been looking at me like a tasty cake for the last 25 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, that happens. And so the husband he's out. He's out getting hammered, supposedly. And the assistant is, you know, getting ready to, you know, for the show to get, you know, and that's why I'm thinking, like, she's kind of the co-host because she's also getting dolled up too. But so she's getting dressed up, and the faucet in the bathroom or in the bathtub, it keeps dripping. So she goes and she tightens it, right? Goes back to her makeup and keeps on dripping. It's like, okay, this thing needs to be, like, you know, tightened more. So she goes and tightens it more. And then somebody at the door opens on its own. And when she goes to check on it, she don't see anybody out there. But she does see somebody walk by.
The back silhouette of, yeah.
Yeah, which is the son.
Yeah, he's wearing a coat with tails.
Yeah.
With blue jeans. Yeah, like you do in 1980.
Yeah, because this is before he gets to the room and has this whole thing with his mom.
With his mama.
So she's like, okay, it was nobody. So she closes the door again. Goes back to putting on her makeup, and again,
what's that dripping?
It's still dripping in the tub. So when she goes to, like, finally tighten it again, she gets attacked in the bathtub.
Behind the shower curtain. Norman Bates style.
Yep, pretty much. Norman
Bates all day.
Whips out a stiletto knife and ends her.
Chops her up.
Then we get into the intro, the musical intro.
Oh, yeah. Then we get, you know, then you pan to the Sunset Strip, and it's 10 punks in, like, an old Eldorado or something.
Yeah, it's like a Lincoln.
And they're like rolling. I mean, it, you know, top down.
Everybody's hanging out the car.
Hanging out just half body, you know, flipping people off, getting into interactions. It's really like, I mean, if you have any kind of mental disorder, this is really disturbing. Because there's a lot going on in this car. They're happy one moment. It's like bipolar.
Then they're all happy. Like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Yeah, rock out.
What's up? Some van pulls up and this lady's got, like, no shirt on. They're like, yeah, boobs. And then they're, like, flipping people off. And then there's, like,
a motorcycle.
Peter Fonda from Easy Riders. Like, yeah. Catching flack from Duff Muskegee or whatever the hell this kid's name is. Hey, yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, you're taking a lot in there.
So they get to the studio area where the show is being hosted because it's pretty much a live show, you know, for New Year's Eve. It's called New Year's Evil is what the show is. And pretty much they just try to figure out what song it is. People moshing. They got live music going on. So they pull up to this venue and the guy, they all come out of the car, and the security guard's like, all right, man, I need tickets.
It's Tommy Two Times from freaking Goodfellas or whatever his name was. Tickets. Yeah. I need some tickets.
So he pulls out his stiletto, the guy in the car, he pulls out his stiletto.
But hey, it's a comb.
It's a comb, which you pointed out this out to me. They all have, like, Eastern accents, like New York accents, kind of.
Yeah, it's like watching, like, Welcome Back, Cotter. But it's like, it's not Welcome Back, Cotter. And for all those of y'all who don't know, but Welcome Back, Cotter was a show in the 70s. And it had John Travolta, John Travolta. And they had a guy named Horshack.
Yeah, Horshack,
And they all talk like this, you know, like...
up your nose with a rubber hose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mr. Cotter, I gotcha.
And now, mind you, they're in Hollywood. Now, I've never lived in Hollywood, man. You've lived in L.A. and that area. I don't know how
people in L.A. do not talk like that. Like, they would have been more, they would have had more of, like, a Valley accent.
Yeah.
So it would have been more like, you know, the Nicholas Coppola movie, Valley Girl, you know, where they're like, oh my gosh, Grody, and stuff like that. Not, you know, 80. Yeah. Come on, I got my comb. And then
the hostess, she even has, like, a transatlantic kind of accent to her. So, yeah, it's movies all over the place, but I get it. I get, you know, they're kind of related to the movies of those times, which was a lot. It was a lot of, you know, New York gang movies. There was a lot of that going on. So, yeah, they kind of wanted to pull in that kind of.
Yeah. And they probably just, you know, they had probably hired the actors and actresses. And it was probably a relatively small budget. I'm going to say that New Year's Evil probably didn't, you know, didn't acquire $1 million in funding. Just throwing this out there. I mean, it was all shot in the same room.
Most of it's in the
tower that you never see any other part of the tower except for the stage.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. They go up there and his stiletto is a freaking comb, the stiletto combs that people have. And so,
Then they basically, like, everybody's, you know, they're entering you into, like, the call center. You know, everybody's dancing. Yeah. There's live bands playing. And everybody's calling in, and I'm going to make the presumption, because they never really say, but everybody's calling in, like, a telethon to vote for whatever
the song of
their favorite song of the year is. So there's four women with phones in front of them sitting there taking calls, and then, lo and behold, the hostess wants to, you know, take the first call, so she gets a call.
Yeah.
And then you are introduced to the character of Evil.
Yes.
So the character of Evil basically is kind of, in my opinion, he's kind of set like the old, if you ever watched Elvira and when you were a kid, he's set like the old creeper that used to call her and breathe into the phone. Yeah. So he calls in, and I thought it was like a tracheotomy piece that he had.
So that's what it kind of is.
But it's some weird voice distortion device that he has.
Yeah. Now, mind you, a little fact. So they use that little device to try to get, you know, to make it change his voice on the phone. So to have this voice. But the problem is like they couldn't get like the proper sound out. So he actually did the sound with his own voice.
And you'll never be able to tell
them. Yeah, you can't really tell. And they were like, oh, like, hey, you can do that. Let's just act like that's the little device.
That's awesome. You're like Michael Winslow from Police Academy. Just talk like a robot.
Yeah. And so that's his voice. That's his actual voice that he's making.
Yeah.
So there's no special effects or anything like that. There's no that. I mean, the device is there, but it's just to kind of show like, oh, he's using a voice changer so he can, you know, disguise his voice and call himself Evil and all that. But his New Year's resolution that she asks him what song did he have, and he's like, I don't have a song, just a resolution. And that's, you know,
when he exposes his dastardly plot that his intention is to kill one person for every time zone.
Yes, that strikes midnight.
That strikes midnight.
And he's going to kill somebody close to her, which he never does. I mean, except for the opening scene, who he kills her.
Yeah, they kind of omit that from the story. The PA gets no love from the movie. Like, the hostess gets all freaked out because she's like, oh my gosh, he's going to kill someone close to me. He already did.
Yeah, he already did.
Yeah, he that's the first person he struck. But now they're going through and, you know, you see, I think it's like 45 minutes out from it turning, you know, midnight New York City.
Yeah, so he's the guy who's calling. You actually see the killer, and he is calling from a payphone across the psychiatric ward. And so he sneaks in through the back while this guy was throwing away all the lettuce and stuff like that. He sneaks in through the dining or the kitchen area, and he disguises himself as another nurse. And there's two nurses there. They are watching over, you know,
watching over like nine people with obvious problems who are completely unsupervised.
They're also tuned into the show.
Yeah, they're tuned in and they're dancing.
They're dancing. Two of them are slow dancing to this punk song. Yeah. So. But yeah, so they're watching it. Well, one of the nurses has to step out and
smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, smoke a cigarette.
Like you do in your carpeted sanitarium.
Yeah, so she pulls out her Virginia Slims.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's another thing.
It's a sanitarium and it's carpeted. Now I'm not gonna get too into this, but I've been in a couple areas in hospitals before. They're not carpeted. They're not gonna give you carpet, but
because one cleanup, if anything.
I mean, somebody vomits, the meds don't sit right, and they like projectile vomit. Then you're like trying to clean that out of the carpet.
Oh yeah,
but.
Yeah, so you have like the Shining Hotel.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The Outlook Hotel.
Pretty much.
Which is now a sanitarium.
But so she runs into this new nurse that has, you know, arrived. He tells him that, you know, his name is what, Johnny Winters.
Yeah, he's Johnny Winters, and he's here to help out. And she's like, oh my gosh, for the holiday, we could really use it.
Yeah, for these 9 patients that we have.
That we are just leaving alone, preoccupied by the TV like toddlers. Yeah,
she leaves them alone with only one nurse in the room.
She needed a cigarette, bro. You know what I'm saying? When Virginia Slim calls, you answer.
Yeah, so she's like, oh, we need the help, even though I just left my, you know, my other employee over there.
And they need help so much that he, like, he starts laying it on like peanut butter. And he's like, hey there, baby, you know what? You know, hey, I got this, you know, I'd like to spend some time with the pretty lady before I start my shift.
Yeah, so he pulls out a bottle of champagne.
Oh, yeah, he got the sham pipple.
And, and he's, you know, it's you know.
Yeah, they go into
be alone on New Year's Eve.
No, New Year's Eve, you shouldn't be looking after people at the psychiatric clinic. You should be going into the room and drinking some, you know, champagne.
So she, one, doesn't know this guy.
No.
All she knows is that supposedly he's sent from county to assist them. And so, but she's like, oh, right this way. I'll show you to the break room and we'll get our champagne popping. And so they go in there and they, you know.
They get their Dixie cups.
They get their Dixie cups and they pour, you know, I was going to say pour glass, but pour paper.
Yeah. Pour a sipple of
and
my ripple.
He turns on to the show too. He gets on the Hollywood hotline too and to listen in. And he immediately asks her to dance to the song. And she's like, wow, you work really fast. And. He likes to count every minute of every day.
I like to make every moment count.
Oh, yeah, every minute count is what he says. And so she, again, she's giving into all of this. So she's ready to show them to the break room, pop champagne with them, and is going to dance with them. And so, that you know, they're dancing or whatever, and now it's like...
full-on open mouth make-out.
Yeah, now they're
session.
Making out. Now, mind you, you would think like, oh, this would be like a scene for a bar, you know, where you just meet someone, you hook up, whatever. No, this is at a clinic.
I do that at work all the time. What are you talking about? That kind of thing happens. You're just at work and just open mouth. And not just like open mouth, like open lip, like pursed kissing people.
Like they're touching
each
other.
Yeah, it's...
And she's like, well, he was going to, like, rub up on her. And she's like, well, can I at least know you for 10 minutes? And all he said was, does that matter? She's like, no, it doesn't matter. Wow, that...
Change your mind quickly. That sham pipple went straight to the head. So then they're laying on, like, a gurney.
Yeah.
There's, like, a gurney there just, you know, conveniently. Because, you know, break rooms, I always got, like, you know, champagne glasses, gurneys.
Yeah.
All that stuff. All day. That's how it works in the psychiatric clinic.
Yeah. So they're making out... And it's starting to count down to midnight in New York City. And as they're making out, he hits the record button.
Yeah, he's got a...
Like, oh, yeah, he has his
He's got
he
a miniature
radio.
Boombox.
Yeah.
And so he, like, you know, an old lady's boombox had, like, the sticky buttons. And you hear clack.
She didn't hear
and she didn't hear nothing. She was caught. Like,
she's in the zone right
now. Yeah, she's, like, intoxicated off the vapors. And then he's like, oh, yeah. And then... He pulls his arm back and he reaches into like his lab coat or whatever he has. He
pulls out his stiletto.
And then he pulls out his stiletto. And so then he hits the stiletto. If you ever heard a stiletto pop, it's a very distinctive sound and it's loud. So it goes, and the blade pops up. And then she's still like, I see nothing. But
And then clock strikes midnight in New York and she unfortunately meets her demise.
And the countdown. The fact that the countdown is like, you know, right there. It's like 6, 5, 4, 3. And
he kills her.
Absolutely.
So back at the show, you know, she's worried because this guy who called, like, he's a maniac. So she wants police there. And her manager's like, there's already police here. Like, we got security. And she's like, no, I want more police.
Tickets.
Yeah, she wants more tickets. And so the detective shows up. And he's pretty much, like, dismissing it. Like, well, look at the crowd you're bringing in. Like, of course you got a crazy call.
Yeah, they're a bunch of filthy punk rockers.
Yeah, he's
like,
a bunch of filthy punks. Like, yeah, of course you're going to get, like, calls like this.
You got Sid Nutritious over there on the bass. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Is the band that's playing for this, the whole theme song is New Year's Evil.
New Year's Evil. And it plays, I want to say, like, 8 times in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's quality. I mean, it's there.
It's a mixture of like punk rock and
It's like glam punk. Like,
yeah, glam punk.
But they're marketing the whole thing. The funny thing is like they're marketing the whole thing as new wave.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is supposed to be new wave. So, you know, like you're assuming like there's going to be like Flock of Seagulls, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Like Flock of Seagulls, Aha.
Yeah.
Things that were on the new, I mean, even Talking Heads, which was a little bit more experimental. You're thinking that's going to come out something like that. But no, it's like Bowie glam. It's like, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's like Queensryche kind of thing. Yeah, but this is the movie. I guess this is what they think like punk rock is supposed to.
Yeah,
be.
Yeah, maybe that was just their perception from like an outsider's point. Like,
could be. Yeah,
who's not part of the scene? They're thinking that you know everybody. But the punk rockers in the movie have like a loving side because like these bands play like slow jams. They go to slow jam and there's two different bands that interlap. I can't remember what the first band's name is.
So you have Shadow, which is the main band that plays New Year's Evil, the song New Year's Evil. And then you have Made in Japan.
Yeah, Made in Japan.
That's what it was.
That's the one I remember.
Yeah.
Banzai.
Yeah. So back to the detective. Sorry, we had sidetracked a little bit. So back to the detective. He's like dismissing it, you know. Obviously, he's like, "Dude, y'all people are pretty much evil yourselves. Like, of course you're gonna have callers like that." And she's like, "Well, it was pretty real to me. Like, it sounded pretty real." So he's like, "I will stand by." Well, now she goes back on the show, you know, and she takes another call, and it's Mr. Evil again, and he says, "I already, you know, I did my what I told you I was gonna do." My resolution's going good pretty so far. So, you know, I already did one, and you're going to find it at the psychiatric ward pretty much, or something like that.
You're going to basically go to Cedarwood Sanitarium or whatever it is.
Crawford Sanitarium.
And so, obviously, by that call coming in, now the cops are there. They're like, hey, you know, we got to go check this out.
Yeah.
So they actually, the other nurse that's still at the sanitarium all by herself, she decides to go look for the nurse who was killed.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Where are you? Where?" And just walking down the hallway, you know, because, you know, nothing that those 9 patients need, like her going around looking for the other nurse, but...
Yeah, oh yeah, she leaves them by themselves
in the room, slow dancing, hugging each other because the one guy destroyed the other guy's toy, and just all... It's a whole backstory on that one, but we'll save that for later. So she goes into the room and she's like, "Where are you?" She's like steamed at this point. You know, leave me alone on a shift.
Yeah, it's been like 30 minutes and now I'm upset.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm looking for you. And she looks on the ground, like the closet, the broom closet or whatever, it's open. And there's a nurse's shoe kind of covered in blood. And she opens the door and dun, dun, dun.
And she finds her body, And then finally, the detective, he gets a call like, "Oh, it was real. We found a body." And he finally tells the hostess like, "Oh, it was real. The creeper's real." He's like, "Yeah, no shit, dude."
Yeah. You already got a call on this. I'm just saying.
So back to the Mr. Evil. He's at this. Now he's at a...
now he's at like a disco, like a weird like
bar party. Yeah. He's at a party, pretty much, like at a bar, and it's, you know, first he grabs his little fake mustache.
Oh, yeah, he disco donned himself out.
He did.
He got his butterfly collar, he got his little fake stash, you know, his little Tom Selleck going on.
Like he should be in Hall & Oates, man.
Yeah, and then he goes up to the bar, he's got his, you know, he's like smokes the Sherman cigarettes, the pure brown ones, and he's sitting there And then, of course, you know...
Across the bar.
There's two lovely ladies, you know, Janet and Chrissy from freaking Three's Company.
Yeah.
Right there, just looking at you. And so he's like, "Hey." So, of course, the one young lady dismisses herself.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Oh, I got a wide open space." So he interjects and he's like, you know, "How do you do? I don't believe we've met."
Yeah. And he lights her cigarette.
Yeah, he's like, "Hey, little lady."
Like a real gentleman.
Yeah, exactly. Like you do. And so then, you know, they're talking and conversing, and he's like, "Well, you know, I've got to go now." And she's like, "What, you're leaving? You just got here." And he's like, "Well, I've got, you know, I'm a business manager, and I've
for
got
Eric Estrada.
Yeah, for Eric Estrada from Chips. I've got to, like, you know, I've got to go to..."
He's having a party, a New Year's Eve party.
"Hey, wait a minute. Why don't you come with me?" And she's like, "Oh, my gosh." Of course, like the nurse, oh, I have no choice but to go with you, tall stranger.
Yeah. So
she goes through and she's like, oh, well, we can go, but I've got to go use the little lady's room first. So she excuses herself. She's like, I'll meet you out front. So, you know, he's like, okay, you know, he is very observant of the time. He keeps looking at his watch.
Yeah.
He knows he's on a countdown.
He's he's on a count. He has to get.
He's got to make these kills in a certain amount of time. So he goes out front and he's waiting out front and she reappears. And she's got her roommate.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, you wouldn't expect me to leave to go to a party with the perfect stranger. And he's like, oh, no, I would never. And yes, that makes logical sense. That
and he's visibly upset. But...
yeah. Because now he's got to dust two people. I mean, it's more work for the killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, more work for evil.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so he, yeah. Which, okay, I get it. You know, which is, she's like the smartest one, probably. Like, yeah, you wouldn't.
No,
go.
She isn't. She proves no, she's not in like the next 5 minutes.
True. She starts off like logical.
She starts off like, I don't know if like maybe some of the new age Zen Ravi Feely. That's coming around. I don't know if something like whispered in her ear, like, hey, idiot, he's going to kill you.
Yeah.
But anyways, they all pile into the, you know, the coupe de crud, his Mercedes.
Yes.
You know, because you can trust anyone in a Mercedes, Diddy. But yeah, so they've got, you know, the Mercedes. So they all pile in and they're driving. And she decides, like, out of the blue, she's going to start revealing secrets about her roommate.
Yeah.
Making her roommate, like, really hella uncomfortable.
Well, she's talking about, like, I forgot what it was. It's, like obviously, like, the new stuff was starting to come in, you know, which was, like, the Zen stuff.
Oh, yeah. And she starts talking about TM. First, I tried TM. That's Transcendental Meditation.
That's what it is.
And then she's like, and then I did some AM. That's Astrophysical Meditation. And he's just like, what the hell is this broad talking about? Like, I want to kill her right now, but her friend's here. So he's like, okay, well. Yeah. So then... she's talking about like her new age healing techniques.
Yeah, then it worked like, with her friend.
Yeah, it worked with her friend who had nervous diarrhea. Because that's what you want to hear when you're like out with two ladies, that one of them has nervous diarrhea. So, yeah, so her roommate's like, dude, shut the hell up. Like, dude, stop. And
yeah.
Lo and behold, they're like, well, we need to stop at the liquor store.
Yeah. Oh, no, she needs to make a pit stop.
Yeah.
So they pull up
over
to her,
the liquor store.
At the liquor store. He's like, well, you're in there using the junk. He tells the roommate, because the roommate was the one who wanted to stop. And he gives her like $100 bill. And he's like, you buy the biggest bottle of champagne after you take a shit or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
after your nervous diarrhea clears, you get yourself some Imodium Perignon.
And I'll be I'll be here with your friend, you know, hooking up with her pretty much.
Yeah.
So she goes in and he turns on the radio because it's almost time for, you know, Chicago is the next one that you know, turns to midnight. So he turns on the radio and, you know, they're starting to count down and he's like, yeah, I got some good stuff here. He pulls out a bag of weed. It looked more like lawn trimmings. It didn't really look like weed. But he pulls it out. He goes, yeah, some great stuff. He goes, here, smell. And he pulls the bag up to her, and when she goes in for a smell, he chokes her with the bag.
Like you do.
And right on the countdown. And she dies literally right on midnight.
Yeah.
She chokes out.
That was cutting it close, though, on that one.
Yeah, that one was close, yeah. But the weed, that's what drew her in. Because he was like, oh, well, she's all zen and all this and that. Maybe this weed will, you know, entice her. And
exactly.
So
evil.
So... the friend finally cut. He said the biggest bottle. She buys the smallest.
She bought like an airplane bottle of champagne. I've seen bigger things on a Southwest flight.
You heard the cashier counting the money back to her, right? Yeah.
99.
Yeah, he was like, okay.
$99.50.
He goes, here you go. Here's your $95 back. I'm like, you bought a $5 bottle of champagne?
Bro, you don't put big money out on people you just met.
True.
Who do you think paid for all that weed, man? A big old bag of lawn trimming.
True. Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah. So she goes out and the car is gone. Now her friend and Mr. I forgot what he called himself at the party, but now they're out of sight now. But her shoe's there, right down the alleyway. So she goes and picks it up, and her other shoe is right next to the dumpster.
Yeah, she's following.
And so, which this part was actually pretty good. Her sleeve to her coat is hanging out the dumpster. And she's like, she's already thinking the worst. Like, oh, great. She's dead in there. So she's going to open up the dumpster and find her, you know, dead. So she opens up the dumpster and it's him. Lights up the lighter and pulls her in and
she's done.
She's done. And then at the Hollywood hotline, well, we get introduced to her son again. And he's like, she calls the room because she's worried about him. Obviously, with this evil dude running about killing people, she calls up her son and in the room that he's staying at. And he's like, I want to tell you something. And she's like, oh, you'll be fine. And then she hangs up on him. She just dismisses him again. He wants to, like, talk to her and, like, open up to her.
Yeah, you get the kind of feeling, like, we were talking about when we were watching it, that, like, you kind of get the feeling he maybe wanted to, like, reveal who the killer was to her.
Yeah. But she keeps dismissing him. And it's like he wants to see, like, okay, will she actually listen to me? Or is she just going to... And she ends up dismissing him again. And he has, like, three pills next to his water.
And now you're going to learn basically why she dismisses him. Because the little freak nugget, grabs a red pantyhose.
Oh my! Well, he takes his Benadryl or amphetamine, whatever they are that he has.
There's some big old horse pills. They do reference lewds somewhere in the movie, which lewds were big back then. Not really sure if they're lewds because I don't know what a lewd looked like, but it's very possible that maybe he was on lewds, and it could so be, he takes the pills, and then
Quaaludes. Like, if anybody doesn't know,
he finds a red pantyhose.
It's his mom. It has to be his mom's.
I don't know, man. It was the 80s. So he puts it on his head. First he, like, tears it into ribbons.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, with the remainder, the little toe piece.
He's like, you think I'm mentally ill? You think I have mental problems? And he's like pretty much, like, saying what he wants to say to his mom. And finally he just puts the pantyhose over his face.
Yeah.
Smushes his face while he's watching his mom on TV.
And then he gets, like, a hat pin, and he pierces his ear with the hat pin.
And he's just like...
The whole time his mom's, like, rocking out with, Shadow.
The band Shadow. Again, I forgot what... Was it Dumb Blondes, right?
No, Dumb Blondes is...
the one after. This one Banzai. Was Banzai. Yeah, that's right. The song Banzai with Made in Japan. The band Made in Japan. And no, they're not a Japanese band. They're just a band called Made in Japan.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, just watching TV, trying to call his dad in Palm Springs. He's not picking up, but he just has this pantyhose over his face. He's kind of just raging, watching his mom on the tube.
Tearing up the flowers. Tearing up the roses he got her. He bought her some roses. He bought her a dozen roses. I wouldn't even waste the money on that woman.
Yeah, if she's already like that, dude. I mean, I guess he was excited because of the part that he got in that series, but at the same time as I do, she's already dismissing you. She cares more about her, you know, her being famous rather than being a mom. Then I wouldn't have even gotten her. I would have gotten her one rose.
This was not her first trip down this road. You could tell she's been, like, workaholic, focused on her career.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't really know where her husband is. Her husband, he's in, my assistant said he's in Palm Springs. So it's like, really? Like, she doesn't know what's going on. Her son's, like, just wandering around with pantyhose on his face. You know?
Yeah.
She is not a good mom.
Yeah.
So.
And so now he calls. So back to Mr. Evil. He calls again and he tells him, hey, I did it again. I did another resolution. It's hitting. I'm on a stride, baby. And I got a twofer.
Yeah, I got a twofer on this one.
And tells him, hey, check at this street. Behind this liquor store, you'll find, you know, my resolution. So they send the cops over there, and they find the dumpster and all that, but it kind of got me, too. They see the dumpster, and they're like, oh, there's blood on the dumpster. Like, this is where it's at.
Yeah, and then they just start, like, wandering, like...
Well, they open it up. It's a cat that's in there.
The cat jumps out at them. Jump scare. Yeah.
But they do find the blood trail, and it's going to somebody's backyard. Oh, no, because Mr. Evil says on the phone, he says, you'll find them. He goes, it was a real swinger of a party. And so they find him in this backyard, and the first girl, the girl he kills with the weed bag, she's chained up on the swing.
On the swing set.
And she's cut up, and she's stabbed in the chest. And they're like, wow, this is crazy. And the other cop's like, oh, there's something over here. And he goes to a slide, and she slides down.
Yeah. Like, who knows how she slid down?
But her body slides down the slide, and she's also dead. Her roommate is dead. And I'm like, oh, that. How did she? I don't know. He set it up to where when they shine the light on the slide, it
came down just mystically, like right at that single moment.
So the detective, he's like, oh, he got another two. They found the bodies, and she's freaking out. The hostess is freaking out, and she's like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And he's like, okay. He goes, we'll get the other guy to keep hosting and keep the party going, keeping everybody calm. She's like, no, like the show must go on. He's not going to ruin this night for me. Like,
and this is when art begins to imitate life, and you know, Made in Japan comes out with the hit classic Dumb Blondes. Now, note if we didn't say it before, the two women he just killed were blondes.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, let's play Dumb Blondes. So they start playing Dumb Blondes.
Yeah, the song Dumb Blondes.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the song speaks for itself. The title speaks for what the song is.
But now, Mr. Evil's ring of luck, it starts to wear thin.
Yeah.
Because he's out driving around.
Well, he dresses up as a priest now.
Yeah, he's.
Because he's getting his next victim. And
he's rolling down the street, and a biker gang pulls up next to him. Then it starts to be like, freaking priest. Like, yeah, like shit like that happens, I guess. Like, well, why are you riding around the street on New Year's Eve threatening priest?
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, they start talking trash to him.
Yeah. And so he drives along, and then now they decide to, well, he was going to go and pretty much find his next victim, but then they follow him and they chase him.
And well, so remember, he hits him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not paying attention. He's looking for his next victim.
That's right. Yeah.
He's looking for like the next kill. And the bikers have stopped for some reason in the middle of the street.
Because why not?
And he hits them and runs into them.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, crap. Like, you know, this is going to kind of throw a wrench in my plan.
Yep.
So he tries to run away. But obviously, you know, he's still in his Mercedes, and, you know, they've got motorcycles, so they can get to places he can't, and they're much quicker.
Yeah.
So he pulls into a drive-in theater and gives the young lady $2.
Yeah.
And then he pulls into a spot. Well, of course, you know, it's New Year's Eve, and you're out at the movies, and what else are you going to be doing? But they pan over to some love-struck teenagers.
Yeah.
And you have a young lady sitting there with her shirt unbuttoned. And a man just...
Copping a feel,
like an uncomfortable long feel. And he's like, are we going to go there? And she's like, no, maybe the next movie. And it's like, what?
You're already there, sweetheart.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm not saying like, you know, but I mean, if you're at that point, you're going somewhere. So
Evil's pulled up and he's, you know, he's hiding out. So
he goes to the car because he needs a new car now because they know his car.
Yeah. Well, he sees the motorcycle gang come in and he sees it. And he's like, man, I got to shake this car because they know I'm dressed like a priest. They know I'm rolling in the Mercedes. I got to find me another ride.
Yeah. And so when he's looking for him, he gets confronted by one of the bike members.
And he pulls out his stiletto. Shink, shink, shink. Done.
He goes, I'm a man of God, and he stabs him in the stomach.
Tiny Hagrid, down for the count. Done. So then he like runs over to the car, the station wagon deluxe or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, and he runs in and he's like, boom, and he opens up the door. He's like, where are the keys? Well, the male party who's been touching on the boobies for like 25 minutes, he's like, oh man, they're in the ignition. And so he's like, okay, get the hell. So the guy runs away. But lo and behold, you know, when
he leaves his girl behind.
Bro, no lie, his girl deserved to be left behind. She just stays up. Okay, I can understand that she doesn't want everybody seeing her tatas.
Buns herself up.
But she's doing like a 35-minute button-up job. Dude, I'm sorry. If my pants are unzipped and I'm taking a leak and some guy starts attacking me, dude, I'm running, swinging, and I'll figure that out later. Dude, better that I catch an indecency charge than my death.
Yeah,
so
true,
She's in there, like, buttoning the hell out of this sweater. It's like a 6-button sweater. Like, how long does this take?
Yeah, and then he takes off with her in the car.
Yeah, she's in the back seat.
And the dude, too, like, he just left her. He's like, screw it. Like,
He's out. He's like, you know what? I didn't have time for the next movie anyways. Yeah. I'm out.
Dumb blondes. He takes off with in their car, and she's like pleading, like, let me go, like, you know, do you want money? I don't have any money. If you want to do it, we can, and I won't make any fuss. And it's like, he's like looking at her like, no, that's not what I want.
It's like, no, you're like impromptu, like you're ruining my plan, kind of like. So
they he's driving, he was gonna pull over to, I'm guessing, to kill her, and these two drunk dudes stumble into the middle of the road.
Yeah, these two New Year's revelers are like, hey man. And so she like decides now's the moment. You know, it wasn't at the drive-in when you had like 1,000 people around. It's definitely going to be this moment now while there's like 2 inebriated guys in front of you. So she makes a beeline and she runs for like, I guess it's a baseball field, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like it's a baseball field, yeah.
So they run and he's, you know, he's roughing up the drunkies and he's like, oh, shut up, get away from me. And so she runs out and he starts, obviously he's in pursuit. So he goes to chase her. Well, he can't see her. Well, she's gone underneath like the grandstand or something. She's hiding. And so he pulls out the stiletto, chink, and he starts tapping it on the stands.
Yeah, on the bleachers.
Like, I'm just like, okay, well, yeah. I guess that's intimidating to a point.
I think he knew she was under that little building.
He probably did, but he was taking his sweet old time getting to her, so.
Kicks the trash can under there to startle her. She doesn't move, though, to her credit. She doesn't move. But unfortunately, before he can get to her, a cop.
The drunkies have called the police.
Yeah, he called the police, and they're like, hey, this guy ran after this other girl.
So you hear a siren.
Yeah.
And then
the cop's like, hey, what are you doing over there?
Yeah.
And so he has to take off. So he leaves her behind. She survives.
He left a witness, sucker.
Yep. And so now he has to go hitch a ride and go back to the detective back at the Hollywood hotline. He's like, well, he has a motive. Like, he's trying to be like Son of Sam and, you know, all these other serial killers that, you know, want to be famous. So we know his plan. He's killing people at midnight. Well, he, you know, missed his other victim.
Yeah, we're at Pacific time. So yeah, the last victim is more than likely, if he's calling in, it's going to be here.
Yeah. So they're like, all right, we'll have cops everywhere. We'll let the crowd know that, you know, nobody can leave. If you leave, you're not allowed back in.
No ins and outs. They're basically making it like a real show now. Like, no ins and outs. You can't. If you leave, you're done. Go home.
Yeah.
And so to emphasize that point of how serious they're getting, there's a punker who basically is like, he's trying to get in. He's like, man, I got tickets. And, of course, the cop there with his, you know, donut.
No one's allowed in.
Tickets. Ticket. And he's like, no, man. And he's like, I didn't get off work till late, man. And I came all the way from Orange County. Let me in. And I'm like, no, you can't come in. But lo and behold, you know, now evil
shows up. Yeah.
Shows up. And he's like, oh, they're really checking IDs at the door. So
I got to figure out how to get in.
So he walks back and he walks into the parking structure that's connected to the studio. And so he walks up and he looks, and on the back door of the hotel or whatever, there's 2 cops posted up right there. And he's like, oh man, how am I going to get past this? So the one cop goes inside, and then Evil gets a wonderful idea. And he's like, hey, officer, there's a drunk over here. And of course, that cop, knowing that they're on high alert, is going to be like, oh wow.
Yeah, he leaves. What drunk?
He leaves his post.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you know, Evil now grabs the cop and knocks him out.
With a brick,
With a weird brick that's precariously placed.
It's a red brick in this giant cinder block building.
Yeah, in the parking structure that's pure concrete. But that's okay. Things happen. It's New Year's Evil. And so he goes through, he puts the cop's uniform on, because every cop I've ever knocked out has been a perfect fit. I look for cops that are 44 regular with a 30-inch inseam. I've got that,
the
bro.
The cop was taller than him.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter, dude. You pull it down, man, you sag a little bit, dude, they're never going to notice. So now he's got the full uniform. He's custom fitted. So he walks to the rear entrance, and the other cop isn't like,
yeah, he's not,
hey,
like,
hey, wait a minute.
Where's the other
wait
guy?
Wait a minute. Where's Clarence? No, he doesn't care. He's like, oh, they must be putting backup on the scene. You must be a...
They must have sent you from county.
Yeah, exactly. You must be from Harbor Division, and we're out here in Rampart. Good to see you. Thanks for checking in.
He just lets him in, doesn't question him, nothing.
He just walks right in.
So he goes in, and of course, you know, the guy, he was already, you know, in the building because he killed the first lady, you know, her assistant. So he pulls out his chest, and he has all of his, like, disguises in there. And his...
Now, that's the thing. So the chest is...
It's already in the hallway,
though. It's laying in the hallway. So what I'm assuming is that he has someone on the inside working with him.
Yeah.
So he has someone on the inside working with him because this chest is right there next to the electric box where he's going to, like, perform his next act of chaos.
Yeah. Because he's after the hostess. Like, yeah. That's it. Like,
you now know, basically, like, he is going after Trash Bag Baroness and, you know, and the 4 Stygmillion witches with the telephones.
Yeah.
They're done. Yeah. So he goes through and he puts on a... What was it?
He just puts on his tracksuit.
Yeah.
Like his Adidas red tracksuit.
His Adidas red tracksuit.
And back to the hostess, she's like, well, you know, I know nobody can leave, but I need to go to my room. I need to, you know, one, I need to use the restroom, and I need to, you know, kind of doll myself up again because, you know, I've been doing this all night.
I've been moshing with Banzai.
With Shadow and Banzai. And oh, Made in Japan and Shadow. Made
in Japan, yeah.
The song is Banzai by Made in Japan.
Could have fooled me.
So she's like, well, I need to go up to my room. So the detective's like, okay, well, this officer's going to take you, escort you up there. So they go up to her room, and he's like, well, hold on. Let me make sure there's nobody in here. So he pulls out his gun, and he's checking all the doors. Not checking the six, but he's checking all the doors. And... And one of the rooms is his son, is her son. And he's like, oh, don't shoot me. And she's like, oh, my God, it's my son. Like, don't.
Yeah. Don't draw down on my son.
Don't shoot him. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, like this and that. He's like, why do you care? Like, you don't. How do you care now?
You don't love me, Mom.
Yeah. He's like, I had a surprise for you, but I guess never mind. And he walks out. So she's like, okay, well, you know, give me like a couple of minutes. I'm going to, you know, ready myself, and then I'll be out. So let's take a couple minutes. So he waits. The officer waits outside, and standing behind her in a, oh my gosh, like a weird mask, like a Laurel Hardy mask.
Yeah.
And
I think it's Ed Laurel.
Ed Laurel.
Yeah.
And he's standing there behind her with a stiletto, but he puts it away. She turns around. She's like, "Oh my God! Like it's the killer," and he pulls off the mask, and it's the killer, but it's also her husband.
Dun, 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 dun.
Big reveal. Big reveal, which got me, too. I'm like, oh, shit, it's her husband. It's a good movie. No, it's cheesy.
It's got its good moments.
Dude, but that part got me, too. I'm like, oh, dude, that's her husband, yeah. That explains why the son is a little bit messed up in the head, too.
Pookaloo.
So... They're talking like, oh, I'm sorry, like I flew in or I drove up just as soon as I heard there was a killer on the loose and I wanted to make sure you were all right and this and that. And she's like, well, you didn't hear him? Like, what? Like, he killed like all these people already. And he's like, oh, damn.
Really? How many, you say?
He goes, well, let me go tell that officer outside that, you know, I'm your husband, so he doesn't shoot me. So he opens the door and he draws on
him. Yeah, the cop's just like draws down on him.
And he's like, hey, officer, just want to let you know, like, I'm
her husband.
Yeah, he goes, where'd you come from? He goes, well, he goes, I was in the John. He goes, but, you know, I didn't want to come out because I thought you were going to shoot me, too. And so she, like, yeah, this is my husband, whatever. So they're talking, whatever. And he's like, well, he goes, I'll let you go, you know, finish your set, you know, go finish, you know, hosting. It's almost midnight or whatever. So, you know, she leaves with the officer, and he gets in a position. So, you know, Mr. Evil, which is her husband, he goes into the electrical box that controls the elevator. And when the officer and her are in the elevator, he's like tweaking it with a screwdriver.
Yeah, he's like stabbing it with the screwdriver so that the diodes like...
Yeah, so it like falls down and gets pulled back up and falls down. And he's like seeing him on the computer screen, like what's going on. So finally he lets it drop and knocks both of them out. And I don't know how he knocked them both out, but
it's plans, man. You've got to be like, you've strategically got to go through your box of tricks and then know exactly how to use them to just drop the elevator cart at the right time to basically knock everyone in the elevator.
Not only does he knock them out, he lands them right on his floor.
Yeah.
So he opens up the elevator and he pulls the cop out, or he knocks him out again because he was trying to come to. He knocks him out, pulls him out, and he sits next to his wife, and she's like coming to, like, oh, what happened, this and that. And he's pretty much talking to her. He goes, you women are manipulative and this and that. So pretty much he doesn't like women. And with his wife's record, I can see why. But at the same time, I don't condone killing them. There's better ways to handle that. He's like, well, I heard you were neglecting our son. He told me everything. He got a part in this show, and he didn't have to use his last name, because if he would have, they would have known that, you know, he was your son.
But yeah, it would have been riding on your coattails.
Yeah, but instead he got it on his own. Like, he just used his first name and that's it. And he's pretty much pissed at her because, you know, he's been neglecting, just like she neglected him, you know. She's now neglecting her son, and he's not going to let that happen. He's not going to let what happened to him happen to his son. So he pulls up the elevator using his little screwdriver, and he hangs her from the bottom of, or no, from the counterweight of the elevator, and that's how she's going to die at midnight. And so he's like going through, and he's about to start doing everything, but now the detective is like, or the cop that saw the husband, he calls it in. He's like, hey, you know, because the husband said that the manager okayed for him to be in there. Because they were questioning, like, why, how'd you get in here? Like,
yeah, and so they go down and they ask the manager, who you kind of get a feeling has been kind of stepping out with the hostess.
Yes.
And so they're like, hey, did you, like, okay her husband? He's like, what the, no.
And then they were like, hey, by the way, we just checked the Crawford records on her husband, and he was there. He was a patient there.
Yeah, he was a patient
over there. At the psychiatric ward. Yeah. And they're like, oh, dude, like, he's like, the manager's like, I knew that guy was a whack job, whatever. And so now they know that the husband is the killer.
He is evil.
So while he's working on the elevator thing and trying to, you know, kill her, they finally draw fire on him, and it's like a shootout between them. But the cops, they don't know that he's working on the elevator, so they shoot the electric work that's controlling the elevator, and she finally stops. If I remember correctly, she finally stops, you know. But
yeah, she's suspended like right before the moment of death.
Yeah,
so his plot was thwarted.
Yeah, but she finally finds her friend that was killed at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
she's in the elevator shaft, and you know, she's like pretty much just face to face with her the whole time.
Yeah.
She's just hanging there.
Things happen.
So he puts on his mask, and there's a chase now going through the building. And finally he gets to the top of the building, and he's like, you know, he's pretty much like,
he's cornered. There's nowhere to go. There's only one way out, evil.
And so evil, he decides to end his life at midnight. No.
Pretty much.
It was at midnight.
Yeah, it was at midnight. So he basically like launches himself off the side of the building and splattered on the sidewalk. Sunset Strip, there's worse places to die. You know, just, you know.
So yeah, he's fine. It's over. The reign of terror is over. No more New Year's resolution. He's done. And so his son, who is right there, sees that his dad, you know, has perished. And so he's like crying, and he's in mourning, and you know, finally he just grabs his mask and he goes into and he's watching his mom being carted out, and he's realizing like, oh, you're the reason like that my dad's dead.
Yeah,
you know, you caused this, you neglect me, and now my dad's dead because you neglect him. So they load her into the ambulance, and the guy who loaded her in there, one of the paramedics, he's like, all right, guy, he's like, you know, let's take off. But the guy driving, it's the son. It's
the son.
And so the son of Mr. Evil is now
Dr. Naughty.
Yeah, Dr. Naughty or whatever, yeah. So he puts on the mask, which he puts on the mask in front of everybody, because there's like photographers out there. There's people, you know, people know. The press is out there. They're like, hey, the hostess of the show just, you know, almost got killed.
Yeah, they...
So he's wearing the mask, and no one's like, hey, that's kind of weird. Why is the driver wearing a mask? No, they're just like, oh, so sad for this hostess.
Because you know, it's New Year's Eve.
Yep, that's, and then the song pops back on.
Absolutely. 14th time this
movie. So you outro with the song New Year's Evil
yep.
by Shadow. and that is New Year's Evil. Oh, man.
It's a good way to spend, I say, if you're getting ready tomorrow, you know, getting ready for New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah, this will come out.
This will come out after.
After New Year's Eve.
So, hopefully while you're getting ready, maybe you'll watch this movie. I mean, it's on Tubi.
Or, hey, you just spent your whole week partying it up, and this weekend.
Yeah, say you're nursing a hangover, from a couple days ago, and you're like, hey, you know what? I really want something to do, and I want to see an Ed Laurel mask and hear the wonderful sounds of Shadow and Made in Japan.
Made in Japan.
There's worse things you could be watching this weekend.
Yeah, there's worse things you could be watching. So pop on New Year's Evil, get drunk, or nurse your hangover, whatever you're doing. But we just hope everybody had a good New Year's Day, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Absolutely.
And hopefully by this time, when this comes out, you haven't given up on your New Year's resolution. Just keep on trucking through there.
Yeah, and if your resolution is to watch, underrated low-budget horror movies, then stick with us. We got you covered in 2025.
Yeah, we got you, yeah.
Just,
And hopefully this year, we got a lot more going for us. We'll keep on pumping out these episodes and doing these movies and, maybe add some extra content in there along the way. But until then, we'll still be here. We'll still be trucking along with you. Thank you so much for listening, tuning in. And if your New Year's resolution is to kill people, just give up on it now.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's okay. This one won't be we won't.
Or at least get yourself a kazoo to disguise your voice.
Disguise your voice.
Yeah.
But other than that, we'll see you next week.